A connection to Taekwondo allowed Rahman Abbasi to achieve his dream of representing Afghanistan on the world stage, winning a bronze medal at the 2014 Asian Games. But the fall of Kabul to the Taliban in August 2021 would take his life in a different direction. His post-athlete work involved dedicating himself to human rights advocacy, founding a charity to help promote access to sports, particularly for young women. That work made him a target of the Taliban, and with the help of the Australian Olympic Committee, he resettled in Australia as a refugee. 3 years on, he has returned to helping improve access to sports at the grassroots level for refugees and migrants. He spoke with Biwa Kwan about his journey and the power of sport to help refugees succeed.
Yeah, actually, my name is Rahman. My background, I'm from Afghanistan. I was a member of Afghanistan national taekwondo team. On the meantime, I was a human rights defender in Afghanistan. I was founder of a non-profit organization in Afghanistan, and I represent my country in a world championship and also more than 30 international championships in taekwondo. And on the meantime, I advocate for the thousands of disadvantaged communities in Afghanistan. And these things happened until 2021. When after 2021, I came to Australia. Now I live in Sydney and I work as a sport and recreation coordinator at RecLink Australia.
Your story is very involved, but it is now 3 years since the fall of Kabul. We saw the scenes at the airport in Kabul. We know that it was a time when so many people were fleeing for their lives. I know now it's been 3 years, but if you can just reflect on the situation of what it was at the time, and I know that you're safe in Australia, but what the state is today in terms of the concern about the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Actually, now the situation is very bad in Afghanistan, and the Taliban, they ban everything for the women in Afghanistan. And I'm sure everyone knows that Taliban ban education, work, study. Even if a woman wanna leave a house, she must be with a male person. After that, she can leave a house. And then the other side, the security situation is very bad. The economic is very bad. Millions of people, they're trying to leave Afghanistan. And the situation is getting worse day by day.
And your journey to Australia, can you reflect on what that was like, you know, settling in Australia at that time? It's often a very pivotal moment for so many refugees and people who have to flee war and persecution.
Actually, we have a nice life and beautiful life in our in Afghanistan, in our country. And no one knows that when the Taliban came to Afghanistan, when they came to Afghanistan, and everything changed. Even our security, our life, everything changed. And on that time, I contacted IOC and International Olympic Committee and also Australian Olympic Committee. And they support me to evacuate from Afghanistan to Australia. And when I think about those days, that how I can deal with that, with those days, it's very dangerous days for me, for my family, for everyone, those people who works for the human rights situation and activities in Afghanistan. Now, when we think about those days, now it's completely changed. And now, thanks God that I have a happy life in Australia, and I'm supporting like thousands of people in Australia now.
Taekwondo has always been a big part of your life. You represented Afghanistan and in the Asian Games in 2014, winning a bronze medal, retiring in 2017 due to injuries. We know the fall of Kabul was in August 2021. Why was it at that point? What made you a target of the Taliban?
Taekwondo is one of the big things in my life, and Taekwondo changed my life. I represent my country in a world championship. I participate more than 30 in the international championship, but this was part of my life. My other part, I was a human rights defender. I had a charity foundation. I was founded a non-profit organization in Afghanistan that they support, that organization support disadvantaged communities in Afghanistan, especially women, girls. And even Afghanistan security forces, that they are fighting against Taliban. We support your family. We support financially their families as well. And these activities, they put me in danger. When the Taliban, as you know, that the Taliban, they're not agree with these things. If a person promotes human rights, if a person support women and girls, it's against the Taliban view, and that activities put me in danger in Afghanistan.
As you mentioned, your charity and your human rights work. What was the impetus or the kind of thing that first got you passionate about advocating, particularly for the rights of girls and women to play sports, when the Taliban said, "No, you can't play sports. That's forbidden. You can't have education beyond grade six."
When the Taliban announced that everything is banned for women in Afghanistan, as a human rights defender, it's my job. I think I must work on this situation, and I try a lot to support Afghanistan women and also Afghanistan athletes. For the Afghanistan girls, still, I support some of the online classes in Afghanistan that they're running for the and it's not a large number of girls, but a small number. It's around 300 girls that they are learning online education in that course. And as well, I advocate through social media, through LinkedIn, through Facebook, through all medias for the rights of women, especially for the women's athletes, women. As you know, that Afghanistan has more than thousands of athletes that they were in national teams. And they're now everything is closed for them, and they're staying in a home. And they need to all the human rights organization, the International Olympic Committee, and all organizations, they support them. At least it's the basic rights for them to doing sports. Now, if you talk about doing sports rights in other country, everyone was like shocked that. But for Afghanistan, it's very basic rights, and we need the basic rights, rights of sports, rights of education, rights of walking in a street alone. It's the basic human rights that we are advocating for them.
And why are you so passionate about advocating for the girls and the women? Was it someone in your family, a sister or mother, who really made it clear that this is something that you need to get behind? You in fact founded the charity, the Smile Foundation, helping women. But who was it? Was it what happened in your life that you thought, look, I have to speak up about this. I have to do this.
Yeah, everything's came from my childhood. My mom was a teacher, and she was a teacher like more than 20 years in Afghanistan. And every time she taught us that woman, men and women, they're equal. In Afghanistan, unfortunately, it's very, if you talk about equal between woman and men, most of the people, they'll not accept this one. And for that the Afghanistan woman's situation is very bad in Afghanistan. And the big credit is going to my mom. She teach me how to behave with women, how to advocate for the women. And she was also a teacher, and she teach thousands of girls in Afghanistan. And my mom was support me when I was childhood and when I grew up, and still now, every time when she saw me, she told me that you must support the girls and women in Afghanistan.
Obviously, after making the journey to Australia, that's only really the start of the settlement process in a lot of ways. So how was that transition for you? What was the did you have the English language skills? How did you find that adjustment?
Yeah, actually, I came to Australia at the late of 2022. It was very, everything was new for me. As a refugee that I came from a country like Afghanistan straight to Sydney in Australia, from language barrier, from new culture, even everything was new, even the buses, the trains, and the places, and everything was too difficult for us to manage our life in Australia. And finally, we find a way. And the good things in Australia that I noticed, there's a large number of organizations that they support newcomers, refugees, and coal communities, and everyone in Australia. They support them how to settle in Australia. And through that, I find my way after a few months, and I find job in Australia, and still I'm doing my job.
Yet the desire for sports and what it can do for you never left you. And in fact, the non-profit you work with, RecLink in based in Melbourne, and a lot of the work that you're doing is providing free sports for refugee and migrant communities. The organisation is national. What was it about, that idea of sports and what it can do that brought you to this place right now?
Yeah, but when I applied for this job, it was a kind of similar job that I did in Afghanistan. RecLink Australia provide free sport and recreation activities for everyone in Australia. And when I saw that job, I applied for that. Now I'm a sport and recreation coordinator at Western Sydney. In Western Sydney, we have around 26 sport and recreation programs, and we have thousands of participants each week. And most of them, they're from cult communities, from the refugee communities, from different backgrounds. And they join our programs, and all our programs free. It's a 10-week programs. I coordinate the program. I deliver some of the programs. I also promote the programs on social media. And I bring all the participants from different communities to that program, to the that programs, and it affects a lot on the. We are focusing more on the those individuals that you're facing with mental health issues, with problem gambling, or maybe social isolation. If they face with these issues, we provide them as an alternative. They join our sport and recreation programs, and in 10 week. We saw many changes on all the individuals that they participate our programs.
And what do you think it is about the power of sport that can really help people?
Actually, sports not just getting the medal or just fighting or just participating in an international championship. It's sport is more than that things. We can support the human rights issues all over the world through sport. We can support as well peace through sport, and even on the issues that currently on Australia we have in Sydney we have, it's a mental health. And if you want to support the individuals that you're facing with mental health, there's no way better than sport. Sport can motivate them, their life, their work, their family, and also for I want to share my experience with with refugee communities. Most of the refugee communities, when they came to Australia, on the first week, it's very because they stay away from their family, from everyone, and we target that groups and we bring them in our programs. Just on 2 or 3 weeks, they find like 40 friends on just in a one program, and they had a contact with each other, and they are becoming a friend with each other, and they are talking with each other. And it's just the power of sport. Without that, there's no way that you can bring 40 person in a one place, and they make a friends like just in a just for one or just in 2 or 3 hours they find a new friends.
And how important is that at a time when you're trying to settle in? Take us back to maybe even your reflections of yourself. How you're dealing with maybe your emotions being low. You're in a new place. Why is sport a lifeline in those circumstances? What is it about it?
Yeah, actually, in my experience, when I have any issues in my life, when I face with some mental health issues, I just try sport, and I find the sport is the strongest tools that they can support even individuals, the groups, and as I mentioned before, it's just more than a sport game.
And how did Taekwondo start for you? Can you remember your first memory of when it all started?
Yeah, I just started Taekwondo on 2004 in Afghanistan. It's a local club on Kabul. Kabul is the capital of Afghanistan. On that time, I was around 11 or 12 years old. And it goes until 2009 on 2009, I got the member of Afghanistan junior team, and it's until 2012. On 2012, I got the Afghanistan national member team. It's good until 2021.
And so, how old were you at the time when you first started Taekwondo?
I was 12 years old when I started Taekwondo.
At the time, did you know that you were going all the way to the Asian Games, getting a bronze medal?
Actually, on that time, no, because I was fan of two person. One was Muhammad Ali Kelly, and the other one was Jackie Chan. Because I was a child, when I went to the two clubs on that time, I find that because in Taekwondo there's a lot of kicking, in boxing there's a lot of boxing, but I choose kicking for that because I was fan of Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan on that time. Yeah, actually, I never thought about those days that one day I represent Afghanistan. But after a few, maybe months, I realized that I'm better in this sport. I continue that sport like for a few months and I get a medal on the club. And after that, I try to more Taekwondo. I get another medal on like a city, like a Kabul. And after that, all the national championships start. And day by day, I realized that one day I represent my country in a world championship. And that day also happened, and I represent my country in a world championship.
We've had a team representing Afghanistan at this Olympic Games in Paris, a team of six, three women, three men. We also have the refugee Olympic team, and I believe that there's an Afghan athlete there in the sport of Taekwondo. What are your insights on what it takes to get to that level, to be on that world stage as an athlete who has to overcome so many different things?
Actually, it's very difficult to at least participate in the Olympic Games. It takes more than 10 years or 15 years for an athlete that participate on an Olympics game. Six of those athletes, they represent Afghanistan on Olympic Games, but two of them, they represent IOC. Currently, there is no flag in Afghanistan. There is no government. For that, they're on a refugee team. I know it's very difficult for them to participate on that games and also to represent a country or Afghanistan on that games. And it's also a dream for all athletes. And I hope medals for them.
It's such a tumultuous time in the Middle East at the moment. In fact, there are so many conflicts that it's hard for people to keep track of what's going on. Any messages for the listeners there on understanding the situation of what's going on?
Actually, I'm sure everyone know about the situation now in Afghanistan, currently in Gaza, and also in Ukraine, and all now between Israel and Iran. And the situation is very getting bad day by day in the world. And as an athlete, as a refugee, I know how peace is important, how the peace has value in a life of someone. I hope peace for everyone, for all countries. And I encourage everyone to stop war. Don't kill people. Don't kill innocent people. And worlds and all worlds need peace. And I also need peace for everyone.
What are some of the transformations that you've seen as you've talked about the light in the eyes, the participants? I understand that with the grassroots programs the nonprofit provides, free sports, you have participants aged all the way from 15 to the age of 40. It's quite a diverse group. What are some of the transformations that you've witnessed?
Actually, most of our programs it start from the kids until 40 years old, and I saw a large number of refugees, multicultural communities, and different background communities in our programs, and I see that how non-profit organization, how Reclink support them, how can. And when I saw their passion to joining the sessions and our programs effect, that have a lot of effect on the participants, and it motivated me a lot to support a lot those individuals, those groups in our programs. I'm happy that I have a chance as a refugee in Australia that I can support those individuals and those groups in Australia.
In a way, you're kind of seeing it full circle that, there may be a younger version of you or at a time discovering a love of sport at a very young age.
Yeah, actually, it's very nice that when I saw the athletes, especially the taekwondo athletes, they're 10 or 12 years old, and I saw that maybe one day they will represent their countries, even Australia, in a world championship. And every time when we start our session, when I participate in the sport and integration programs, I start with my history and story, and also I explain them that one day you will get the your you will be in a higher position and you will achieve your dream. And I every time I motivate everyone, especially for those that they are in my situation.
Why do you continue doing this kind of work, supporting? I know that you crowd fundraise for some mothers still in Afghanistan and still seek to try and support what you can do from here for access to sports in Afghanistan. What motivates you to keep doing that?
It's a rights of all humans that they have access of sport, education, and work, everything. And I know that in Afghanistan, especially the girls and women, athletes, and they are too passionate about the sports. Most of them, they already represent Afghanistan at a high level. And I think it's their rights, and we need to stand with them. And it's very important for us in this state that we stand with Afghanistan women and girls.
Do you see a future for returning to Afghanistan? I know that we earlier talked about you being a target and the situation is very tenuous over there. What are your hopes about what can be for Afghanistan?
Well, I think it's a very good question, but when I see in the future, it's very difficult for me. Even with the Taliban, it's very difficult to. We need again war. If the war starts, if the Taliban gone, on that time we can go easily in Afghanistan. But once the Taliban, they are in Afghanistan, they are controlling all the Afghanistan, it's very difficult to one day go back to Afghanistan. And these things happen. Some of the people, they already go back to Afghanistan, they face with a lot of problems, especially with the security problem. And I can see like clear the future, but I'm sure the international organizations and all the world, one day they will stand with Afghanistan people, and they will bring again democracy, freedom of speech, women's rights, human rights in Afghanistan.